Hi, this is Dr. Peter Osborne with Gluten Free Society, and today I have another special guest for you. We have Jay Harper on the phone, and Jay is the founder of Red Apple Lipstick, and his company, their focus and their design is on producing a truly gluten-free lipstick that's also paraben-free. So they even take it one step further in trying to produce a product that's going to be non-toxic to use, both from a gluten perspective as well as from a chemical perspective. Jay, thanks so much for taking the time out of your busy schedule to come on and talk about lipstick with us today. Can you give us a little bit more background about how you got started in all this and kind of what your company is all about?
Yeah, of course. I'd be overjoyed to. A couple of years ago, 5, 6, 7 years ago, I decided one day that I was just a little bored. And I thought it might be really cool to see what would happen if I could make the world's very best red lipstick, right? So this led down like a long path of discovering how makeup is really made in the first place and how some of it's made in other countries and what it's like to make it in another country versus in our own country. And eventually through my travels, I happened across a high-level cosmetic chemist who knows a whole lot about how toxic today's makeup formulations are. He and I became friends, and he began to fill me in on what the cosmetics industry is really doing. He also happens to have celiac disease. So through those conversations, it really dawned on me that there isn't a champion in this country for safe cosmetics, which is actually a whole lot easier to do than you think it is. Most of the toxicity that's placed into makeup isn't placed there because it's absolutely necessary, except unless you're thinking about the absolute necessity on making profit, right? The chemicals like paraben as a preservative allows makeup to be made in overseas facilities where the life cycle of getting it made and then onto the store shelf here in the United States is very long. Like when you go to the drugstore, a piece of makeup sitting on the shelf might be 2 years, 2.5 years old by the time you get it. And without those preservatives, it would have gone bad long ago. And obviously, that's not good for big profits if big profits are what you're after. So when he began to tell me this, I decided that it would be a really cool idea to make the world's best gluten-free, paraben-free, phthalate-free makeup. And so that's kind of the path that we went down.
That's fantastic, because I know one of the biggest, you know, I get the question a lot, what can I use that's gluten-free in terms of makeups? And I'm not a makeup expert. I've always just kind of said, you know, you got to do your own research and look things up, call the manufacturer, and just get educated and get informed about, you know, the chemicals that you're going to be putting on your body. And I know because we live in America, and vanity is a part of living in America, and you want to, I mean, women want to look good. And I don't have a problem with that. But looking good at the cost of their health is another issue. So it's refreshing to hear somebody creating something that is free of the garbage, but still allows for the social implication of wearing makeup.
It's been a really cool process. And what I don't think that a lot of people understand in this country is a couple of things. One, the FDA doesn't really have the right to make a determination on ingredients in personal care and cosmetic products. The FD&C Act does not provide them with the means to test or make a determination. Okay, legislation forces them to take their determination from the CIR, which is the Cosmetic Ingredient Review Board, which is a private organization funded by the industry, which is kind of an interesting circle if you ask me. So whatever the CIR says, hey, this is safe, that's kind of the way they have to do it. But there's research emerging all around the rest of the world, particularly in the UK and the European Union, where they're beginning to discover how bad a lot of these toxins are for you. Like paraben is another prime example. When you find out that it's in almost everything from lotions to shampoos to shaving gels to hair gel to hair products to just about everything you put on your body, then you think about all the products that a woman uses. By the time she's 18, she's got an amazing array of bronzers and toners and mascaras and lipsticks and lip pencils and blushes. And when you compound all of that toxicity together at once on a product that you leave on your body all day, and then you repeat this for years, that's where you really begin to run into the problems. And anybody born after 1970 is going to have an exposure level that has been all their life. You know, a lot of these chemicals kind of exploded into the marketplace in the early 1970s. And scientists even then said, hey, look, I have discovered that when we put methylparaben in directly into rats, they grow little rat breast cancers. And that stuff just kind of gets shuffled under the rug. So that's where the problems like super compound. You might have 168 chemicals on your body before you leave the house every single day.
Yeah, and I think, like you said, it's a compounding effect. It's synergistic. We it's kind of like with medication. When you get over one drug, there's a synergism that can occur that's unpredictable. We don't know whether or not it's going to create a lot of problems, or maybe small problems over long periods of time turn into big problems, right? And so I think that's one of the big issues with the chemicals and makeup being, well, I mean, women certainly are susceptible. And a lot of these chemicals, too, mimic estrogen.
And that's exactly what paraben and things like triclosan do, is they mimic estrogen in your body. And there's actually, and it happens in men too, that men are not immune to this. Hair gels and things like that causes the same problem. And science is now beginning to see an increase in breast cancer in men, which is kind of strange. This is unheard of 50 years ago, 40 years ago. Nobody ever heard of these things. And you particularly never heard of breast cancer in a woman between the ages of 25 and 35. You know, but prior to the 1970s, it just wasn't something that happened. If you look at the curve, though, of breast cancer incident in younger women, from 1970 to today, you'll see like a very striking increase every single year. And I think that it's because of these chemicals that are invading our store shelves and into your bathroom and onto your body, for sure.
And, you know, some of the irony there is a number of these companies actually talk about going pink, you know, with breast cancer awareness, and a lot of the products they actually sell are major contributors to why the cancer risk is increased in the first place.
I totally agree with you. I think the, we all have our personal opinions about that, but I think it is strange when you have a company, and I'm not going to name any by names, that have been really pinned down by some heavy hitter, you know, toxic cancer researchers, and then after all that publicity goes out bad about them, they immediately turn around and do a pink ribbon campaign, and it's kind of strange how that works, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So tell me a little bit, you know, you're using a chemical-free makeup with solid ingredients. Tell me a little bit about the ingredients in your product. What makes Red Apple lipsticks different from, you know, just the standard lipstick at the store, aside from the fact that it's gluten-free?
Yeah, definitely. What you want to do is you want to stay away from all of the chemical compounds, okay? And you want to stay away from all the wheat-based compounds, which is not hard to do. A lot of inexpensive makeup is bound together by wheat-based binders, which actually works pretty well. But if you're gluten intolerant, this is not good for you, particularly in something like lipstick, because it's just gonna get in your body. I mean, any woman knows that your lipstick is gonna get into your body. That's gonna happen. So you stick to natural things, sesame seed oil, avocado oil, jojoba seed oil, things like that, and you use safe waxes like candelilla wax and things of that nature, and it really works out very well. Makeup is actually better without all that junk in it. You produce a higher quality piece of makeup.
Now, so, and then I've actually had patients get cross-contamination through wives or girlfriends from kissing.
I hear about that all the time. Certainly one of the benefits that I have from my position is that I end up talking to a lot of women. And, you know, out of all of our customer base, we spend a lot of time eliciting response from our customer base. We want to know who our customers are. We like them. We treat them very well. They're the people who support us, and we love them. So to that end, we do a lot of back and forth in communication with our customers. And I hear a lot of stories of women who have gone completely gluten-free and really couldn't wear lipstick because it would cross-contaminate their husband. And it's been an interesting take that, you know, they're happy to finally find something that works really well for them and at the same time is safe for everybody in the family.
Yeah, no doubt. What? Tell me a little bit about, so you're using different natural oils like avocado oil, and basically you're using natural-based products. Is there a huge cost differentiation in putting that together, or is it just something that the industry has gotten so used to that they use all these chemicals just because it's standard production?
Well, the industry is, you know, the industry itself is first off really about big profits. And ultimately, I feel like the end user of the product is not necessarily the customer. I feel like the drugstores are the customers because that's who they're selling the makeup to, and then the drugstore's job is to move it along to you. But when you're talking about the volume that some really large companies are doing, even just pennies makes an enormous difference. Almost all of manufacturing has been moved overseas to overseas plants in either China or India and some places like that, which is, I don't have anything against these countries. I'm not saying anything bad about it, but there's definitely no oversight over there. And there's certainly no oversight here. I mean, there is no law that says the FDA, right from the FDA or the government, that says any cosmetic company has to prove the safety of any ingredient in any personal care product before it's placed on the market. I mean, period. The EWG has been all over the FDA for years trying to get this changed, but it just hasn't changed. So is there a cost difference? Yes, it does cost more. And then when you really begin to think about raw ingredients, you know, you have to think about where all these raw ingredients come from. And you have to understand that there are differences between raw ingredient companies that make really cheap raw ingredients and raw ingredient companies that really care about the quality of their product that they're moving out. Most of the raw ingredient suppliers in the world are just trying to turn a few dollars, and they think everybody in the world who's making makeup just wants cheap, 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 cheap. So they do funny things like they cut talc with asbestos to make it fluffier and go further. So when you're selecting raw ingredients, it's really important that those supply chains are high quality and that you really trust those people and that you test those raw ingredients as they hit your shop. And that's another level of expense, is sending all of this stuff off to be tested. You know, we test all of our raw ingredients, and we test all of our batches, and we test all of our formulas. And there's certainly an expense involved in that, and I don't think it's anything that really large companies either could or would want to facilitate. It's a lot of effort to make sure that your product is super clean. So it does cost more.
And you're a local, but you're local to me. You're in Houston.
Correct.
Houston, Texas, and that's where you guys got started for the most part. And one of the things I read it on your website when I was initially investigating your company, and it was a story about a woman named Susan. Can you share that story? I think that's a fundamentally, I think that's a very great story, a very
You know, that is what solidly placed me into like the dedicated gluten-free sphere, right? Susan was put in touch with me from my cosmetic chemist friend. He said, "Look, if you want to talk to anybody, you talk to this woman. She'll tell you what it's all about." And Susan is a housewife. At the time I spoke with her, she was 26, lovely lady, three kids. You know, husband works at a chemical plant on the other side of town. And this lady related her entire story to me. She has been sick, and this is a story that I hear now, where I am now, very often. She has been sick since she's 14 years old and very sick. And no doctor knows what's going on with her. She bounces from doctor to doctor to doctor to doctor. And a lot of these male doctors look at her and say, "You know, you're just being a woman. This is just PMS. Why are you bringing all these problems to me? You're just a hypochondriac. You're just trying to get attention. Maybe you need to go see a psychiatrist." And that really damaged her feelings, like the way she felt about herself, because she believed these doctors that maybe she was just crazy, maybe it was this, that, or the other. She, by the time she got to college, she couldn't even finish college because she was so sick, and it affected everything about her life. I mean, it affected her relationship with her husband, and it was a really touching story of how she finally discovered that it was just celiac disease. She had a very severe case of celiac disease. And when she finally discovered what it was, it validated all those years of being told that she was just simply nuts. And it was a really moving story. And when I heard that, I knew right then what I needed to do. You know, I knew that I needed to go out, because if she had this story, she's not the only one. And so I really wanted to go out and champion that cause and let people know, "Hey, look, you're not crazy. First and foremost, you're not crazy." You know, and here's some makeup that can make you feel better. I mean, if I can do this one little thing for them, that makes me feel really good, and I'm happy with that. That's my little corner, I guess.
Well, and you know, I think, too, that when somebody learns that they have celiac disease or non-celiac gluten sensitivity, there's such a huge lifestyle and such a huge diet change from what the social norm is. I mean, I've been doing it 13 years. For me, it's like the back of my hand. It's not a big deal. But I go back in time and I remember the initial changes and how big they actually were for the person who's just getting started.
Okay.
You know, and I say, you know, here's a woman who is going to multiple doctors, doesn't know what's wrong with her, finally figures it out, and now she's being told she can't wear makeup either. So she's got to change her diet completely, and then now she is being told that she really can't doll herself up and wear makeup because the makeup potentially is either cross-contaminated with gluten in some form or fashion, or it's just so loaded with chemicals. And so this is where I think a lot of women are left. They're left with this huge diet change that's already overwhelming. Their minds aren't even going to makeup yet. So to have you be able to fill that gap, to me, is absolutely phenomenally fantastic because, again, you know, it's hard enough just making the change, but to have a company who you can rely on to actually know what gluten sensitivity is and what gluten-free means and to create a product that is free of those things for people who just don't need one more headache of calling a manufacturer. They just want to slip into something turnkey and be able to go.
Exactly.
So thank you for that.
It has been like the most rewarding thing I've ever done in my entire life. And as we develop these relationships, and I get emails, you know, emails and emails and emails, and people call and we talk on the telephone and we go to shows and we meet people in person. And the common stories that you hear through this and how, like, this one little thing helps pick up their day and brighten their day and enlighten their life as you know from what you do is incredibly rewarding. And it's the same for me. It's been a really, really neat journey to get here. And I'm having a lot of fun with it. It's cool.
Now, you have an e-book that you've put together on makeup and then the toxicity of makeup. I would like to make that available to all of my subscribers. How can I go about making that happen?
Yeah, we can definitely work that out. You know, the book is published in hard copy too, but, you know, what we do is we have over on our side, we have what's called our VIP club. And so our VIP club members, what we do for them is we give them 20% off on every product forever, for the rest of their life. And we also give them a copy of that ebook as well, like an electronic copy of it. And it's a fairly enlightening book that talks about, you know, some of the more major chemical compounds that you should certainly avoid, and a little bit about how the cosmetic industry is kind of emulating a lot of the playbook stuff that you saw from Big Tobacco in the 1950s. So it's kind of an interesting read, and I should have my second version of that book out here shortly. I've been working on adding to it a little bit, and it's a fun book. It's enlightening, and I'd be overjoyed to give it out.
Okay, so great. So we can get everybody connected with that. I'll put a link then below this to where people can go and pick up a copy. Tell me more about. So you offer lipsticks and glosses. What other kinds of makeup products do you offer, and are you planning on introducing additional new products to the market?
You know, yes, I have been considering. Currently, what we do is we manufacture lipsticks, glosses, like you said, pencils, lip pencils, and we have our Rally Balm product, which is like specifically designed for the gluten-free woman. I mean, one of the things that we've noticed is that a lot of women who have celiac disease or gluten intolerance like constantly battle this issue with dry lips. They have a problem keeping moisture in their lips. So what I've done is I've developed a product that's basically a gluten-free, all-natural vitamin E suspended in castor seed oil, not castor oil, but castor seed oil, cold-pressed castor seed oil, which is a little different than regular castor oil. And it works like a champ. I mean, what it does is it allows your body the opportunity to heal that skin on its own. Vitamin E is obviously, I mean, you can look it up, the benefits for your skin are numerous, but it's an antioxidant, and it seems to work really good. Now, that same vitamin E, we put that in every single lipstick we make, and we put it in every single gloss that we make. So as you're wearing lipsticks, it's got that same benefit of providing that healing power for your body, and it works really well. It was a really smart thing to put those two together, and it works, like, amazingly well. We also make a lip exfoliator. I always think that it's a good idea that if you have dead skin cells on your lips, instead of your body trying to work to get rid of that, those skin cells on their own, just go ahead and get rid of them, you know? And then your body can work on the good skin that's left over. So we have an exfoliator stick. That's important. And then we started making eyeshadows because we a lot of women at these shows would say, hey, you know, this lipstick is great, but I have a lot of problems with eyeshadow. And really what they're talking about is these contact dermatitis issues where your body, like, fights these little foreign invaders as it touches your skin. The little memory cells sensitize, and then cytokines go and just, you know, that's where a lot of the redness and itchiness and puffiness comes from. A lot of that is attributed to just very cheap colorants and certain metals like aluminum and tin and things like that in very inexpensive eyeshadows. They're not very well put together. So I decided it would be really neat if I made a really solid, allergen-free, pressed mineral eyeshadow. So we've been making those now for a year, and everybody seems to be super happy with those. And at this point, we're considering, like, where do we branch out to next? You know, like, what is the next product that we want to put into place?
So currently then, if I make sure I understand you correctly, it's lip balms, it's lipsticks, it's lip pencils, and you're looking at eyeshadows. And
the eyeshadows are available now. Yep, the eyeshadows are ready. They've been on sale now for a year, I suppose, something like that. We've had really great results with that. And then, you know, we're trying to decide, like, where do we go next? Do we go to foundations next? Do we go to blush next? Do we go to mascara? Mascara is a really difficult one to work out. We have a lot of women who say, hey, I really would love it if you make a mascara. The truth is, it's very difficult to make mascara and make it safe. It's just the nature of that particular type of product. It's water-based, and it's hard to make safely. I'm close, though. I'm real close on a formula that seems to be looking really, really good for that. But, you know, it's just where it is right now.
So if I can throw in my two cents, I think the one I get asked the most is foundation.
We've been certainly working on a couple of different foundation formulas. We have, like, this really cool, like, baked mineral foundation that actually a guy in Italy taught me how to make, which was, I really loved his take on how foundation should be made and how it should be worn. It was a really interesting perspective from him. And he taught me how to make this really cool, like, baked mineral foundation. So we've been, like, toying around with that, make sure all everything's in place and works just fine, and we're really close on that. And we've also worked on some liquid foundation formulas for those who don't like a powder-based. It's just a matter of getting everything in play. I mean, one thing to understand for sure is that we are not funded by some huge multi-million dollar corporation, right? I mean, every ounce of this has all come out of my pocket from the get-go, which is fine. I'm not complaining. Don't get me wrong. But it definitely takes time, and it requires resources to put this stuff into play. So we just kind of move along as we can move along, and we're having a whole lot of fun doing it.
It sounds like you're passionate about what you do, and to me that's always a good sign of a good business, is somebody who cares about not just the product and selling the product, but the end user who's using the product.
Oh, definitely. I mean, like, it's just been the coolest thing that I've ever done, and it's super rewarding, and we really enjoy this.
Tell me, moving forward, so you've got products that you've got on the runway, so to speak, where you're kind of in investigative and trying to make sure the formula's right and that they work and that they're good products. Aside from new products, where can somebody get a hold of you if they have questions or concerns or comments about the ingredients? What's the best place for them to get a hold of you?
Yeah, of course. Well, our website is at www.redapplelipstick.com, And our phone number is down there at the bottom of the site, down in the little footer. You're always welcome to call us. One of the things that's different about us and something that I feel is really important is that during the week we actually answer our telephones with live, intelligent human beings, which is different these days, you know. I don't like to have a machine. We don't have a voicemail during the day. Like, you couldn't leave a message for anybody on a voicemail if you wanted to. We take notes and, like, literally say, hey, Ann called. Can you call her back, please? Which is really neat. So people are welcome to call us. We invite that. We enjoy it. That's no problem. But also on our website, there's a little tab floating off on the right-hand side. This is Ask a Question. And when you click that little tab, a little window pops open. You put your name and email address and whatever your question is, and our entire support staff gets that same message all at once, and they are very good at getting back to you quickly.
Excellent. Okay. Well, again, thank you so much for taking the time out to come on and talk about makeup. I know a lot of people don't think about gluten sensitivity and think about makeup, but I feel like it's an important enough topic that needed to be addressed. And I appreciate your expertise on the matter and appreciate you creating a product that people can use that is not only gluten-free but just isn't toxic. Because to me, I mean, you know, I always say with food, you know, there's three rules. You can't get healthy eating food that isn't unhealthy. And you shouldn't eat it, things you're allergic or intolerant to. And additionally, if it makes you feel bad, don't eat it. But with makeup, you know, there aren't a whole lot of other options. So, I mean, how do you get healthy if you're throwing chemicals on your body every day and ingesting them indirectly through your skin or through your mouth? And so,
sure.
Again, just thanks so much for putting that together.
Yeah, thanks. I appreciate that.
Yeah. Okay, this is Dr. Osborne. I hope this interview was helpful for you. And, of course, you can contact Jay at redapplelipstick.com, and I hope that you do. I hope you look into what he's got to offer, because I think as far as makeup is concerned, he's got the healthiest version of gluten-free makeup that you could check out or that you could get on the market today. So at any rate, we'll have another great interview for you next week, and have a great afternoon.